Bless.
They think they see something going on. So.
Bless. I
think God's going to take care of
them. Hey, man. Bless your sister. God's bigger than every bit of that, Sharon.
You know, at least my legs have quit hurting so bad.
Hey, man.
When she told me that Tuesday, I said, well, yeah, I said, I wasn't expecting to get another bad news. I've already got other news, but, you know, God, because sometimes Phil, you played up, but with his trust and faith, that he's going to get me through it, you know.
Bless you, Sharon. Amen.
They
that's right.
Your pocketbook, honey. They
Psalm 27, verse 30.
Yeah.
Since I fainted, as I believe you see the goodness of the Lord. Bless the Lord. Singing that, I was sitting there and I was just imagining what it'd be like to set foot in heaven. I'm glad, praise God.
Hey,
Jesus said if it wasn't so, he said I'd have told you and it ain't changed. Not only is heaven so, but praise God, I'll be there one day.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. got a request, brother.
All right, hey, we're here for the Lord.
That's right. Amen. We don't trust the Lord.
Amen, Sister Kelly.
Do whatever the Lord has us to do.
Y'all keep that up. That's good.
Yep.
Y'all pray for me. I try to sing this song.
Bless you.
You know, one of these days.
Bless you.
Them graves is going to burst wide open.
Sure.
That's right.
And we're going to meet him in the sky.
Amen.
So, and I'm ready for that day.
Amen.
Anytime he's ready for me, I'm ready to go. Because I know my husband is sitting there waiting.
Bless
for
still waiting. Bless your heart.
So y'all pray for me.
Bless your Lord. Bless you.
Now you can take me out to this graveyard. And you can lay this old body down. But on that resurrection morning, I'm gonna come up, come up, come up out of that grave.
Yeah, baby.
With the rain of grace. Gonna hold my body down.
Yeah, baby.
With the rain of grace. Gonna hold my body down.
Provided means. Amen. Mm-hmm. We could get up.
Right.
Amen. Y'all done a good job there.
Thank you.
Brother Wade, he's going to sing some.
Oh, yeah. Sit down.
He might need some help there, Brother Jerry. If you don't care, help him get sit up there.
You like that song?
CD.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wonder how our government's going to explain all these holes in the ground when this happens.
They're going to be looking for a hole themselves, brother. That's exactly what they're going to. They ain't going to be worried about this. They're going to go to the rocks, fall on us,
yeah.
Hide us. Yeah, they're going to run out of excuses.
Yeah.
when we're gone.
Have his mind put into the song.
What?
He's going to sing it.
I'm just saying, I'll listen. You have the CD?
Yes.
It don't make any difference which mic, I don't care. This is it. If you run this thing, that would be number one, this would be number three if I can sing this. Thank you, good job.
Yeah.
We love singing. Can't sing good, but we love singing.
That's a good job. Hey, man.
What color do you want?
Praise the Lord.
I don't think we need much more singing after what we've done.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Really good.
Number one.
That's a
Mac on. Yeah, it's got reverb in.
Yes, yes, sir.
Their heads were low. Their steps were slow. They walked along that long Emmaus road. Then a man appeared.
Yeah, man. What I know
is he drew me.
Yeah, man. He'll do it.
He said, "Why are you so sad? Are things really that bad?
away. Hey, mate.
Yeah, you are.
Good job, boy.
Thank you. Good job.
Just a little bit. Lock it down. CD, just a little bit. I'm just doing.
Good job, Brother Wade.
Number three in that, on that other one.
Oh, you got to sit down for a minute.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. One more and I'll get out of the way.
You all right?
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah.
Have any of y'all been redeemed in here?
Amen.
Redeemed.
I'm glad someone was willing to buy me back.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. Amen,
Brother Devil. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
I tell you what a gift.
Yeah. Wish I could say I was worth it.
I'm a good Lord. Saved a wretch like me.
Ain't none of us worth that price. Was paid.
That's right.
All right. Number three.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm not, I used to.
right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I need some redemption right now. My knees about had it. I'm about like Sharon. I'm just limping around here. Me and Wade was talking about this. This is my cousin, my first cousin. He's a preacher too. And we was talking about when we got over here, boy. Now, it ain't like what it used to be. Our youth is gone. We're in the fall, maybe the winter, I don't know. But I'll speak this on behalf of my cousin here. He moved down here from, was it Illinois?
Yeah.
He moved down here from Illinois, and he liked the deer hunting. I did too. And he riding in my truck. Of course, you know, Brother Eddie, I'm going to be playing, preaching, or singing, or something. And he wasn't necessarily on board with it. He said, turn that off. I said, no, I ain't turning that off. He said, well, I don't want to hear it. I said, well, if you're going to ride with me, you're going to hear it. So, make a long story short, he said, what time's church tonight? I said, 6 o'clock. He showed up. And, buddy, I'll tell you what, he sung that song just then.
Yeah.
I'm glad, praise God, no matter where we're at.
That's
I'm glad Neil's scarred hands reach out and say, come unto me.
That's right.
I love you. He rededicated his life. Next thing I know, he's called a priest. Next thing I know, he's preached up on the square. We was in a camp meeting up in Ohio, Camp Glory. Jimmy Hood, he got in a big way and took off running. And I thought I'd fall in behind him. I stepped out, Wade ran over me like a freight train. I got what was left of me up, got back in the seat, and I stayed sit down, amen. They say if you can't run with the big dogs, sit on the porch. I stayed on the porch. Amen. I appreciate my brother. I've been trying to get him out here for a long time. I appreciate him coming.
Yeah.
He's a true blessing. Loves the Lord. A mighty, mighty man of God. Appreciate him so much. We'll read one more excerpt out of this book, Voices from the Edge of Eternity. And if you want to be opening up your Bibles to James chapter 5, we'll take our preaching from there. See if I remember what I was going to read here. Okay. We're going to read about a man that I think 1951, don't give his name, says, my husband was a man very close to God. He often expressed a wish to be in the ministry but did not feel that was where God wanted him to serve. He was a quiet man and he had a personal ministry that no one knew about except Jesus. In the spring of 1951, he was having trouble in his stomach and thought he had ulcers. However, after a prolonged period of half and half with egg, the distress persisted, so he went in for a checkup. The doctors told us that nothing definitely showed up in the examination, and they wanted to perform a minor surgery. Our daughter, in her junior year at high school, was programmed for the lead in a music festival, and he postponed the surgery so that he might hear her sing. On March the 27th, he went into surgery for what the doctor thought would only be for a short period of time. After waiting in the lounge for better than 2 hours, I began to feel there was something more involved than just a minor surgery. When the doctor finally came to see me, he told me that he'd found a perforation in the top of the stomach of about 36 hours duration, and that the lymph glands and 4 other tissues showed some infection. He had removed 1/4 of the stomach and built a new elimination connection or something with the intestine and was sending the organs to the cancer lab at Houston. He added that he had no doubt the test would show positive malignity. He was right. The test showed malignity. The glands had picked it up and scattered it throughout the system and the bloodstream. It was the most contagious or violent type and would not respond to any type of treatment then known. It would recur within 6 to 8 months in the lungs and terminal within 2 months after that. Here's his name. Homer seemed to accept the prognostics. much easier than I, and he began to heal and was able to accept food much sooner than the doctors expected. He regained his strength quickly, put on weight, and felt very well after returning to work. May the 28th, his co-workers and our friends began to scoff at the idea that he was living on limited time. However, some of the men whom he tried to witness to prior to this illness came to him and asked him how he felt about the prospect of a limited life. This time they were more ready to listen to his declaration that life hereafter is more sure than life here, and his witness bore fruit many times. In September, he began to tire easily and a slight cough developed. His monthly x-ray showed a slight shadow on the lung, and the next check, the shadow was much larger. The doctor wanted to try radiation in spite of the lab's verdict that it would not do any good. They were correct, it didn't. Instead, it scattered, and he went downhill rapidly. By the first of the week in November, he was no longer able to leave the bed, and the malignancy wrapped itself around the esophagus, and he could not eat. The men from the plant would drop in to cheer him up, but instead they would actually leave cheered themselves. For he expressed to them an actual expectancy at the prospect of seeing his Lord Jesus. A close friend came one evening late in November and said, "Homer, I know you believe in God's healing power. Have you asked to be healed?" His answer was simple and clear. "Mary, since I've come to feel that God has used this to reach people I have been unable to reach otherwise, I do not feel I have any right to ask Him to set aside His will. Instead, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus, and I would be disappointed if anything happened to prevent that." The following Tuesday, he had a coughing attack, and the doctor suggested him getting to the hospital. He went, and shortly after we reached there, after saying one more time, "Honey, never forget how much I love you," he dropped off into a coma. In 48 hours, he went home. As I tell this story, I want to thank God, for He was so merciful through this entire ordeal. At no time did Homer suffer. And that was wrote by the hand of his wife. And I'm preaching on praying today. Yeah. It's kind of unusual that he didn't ask to be healed. And you'd think in a predicament like that, first thing you'd want to be is inclined to pray that God would heal you or have mercy on you, and I would be. Yeah. And I'm sure you would be too.
That's right.
But in his case, he chose the will of God above his own needs. And that was quite a commentary there. Well, preaching today, we preached on the person of faith, the purpose of faith, the promoters of faith. Today's on the prayer of faith. And next Sunday, good Lord be willing, to be on the product of faith. But today's on the prayer of faith. We'll take our text out of James chapter 5, start our reading in verse number 12. "But in all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be nay, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith," that be our text verse, "shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We'll stop our reading right there and make comment on some of these other verses. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, the singing's been wonderful. And I pray, Father, Lord, you continue in your blessing.
Yes.
And may you bless the preacher of your word. And I pray, Father God, today you'd give us ears to hear, a heart to receive and believe the great treasures and the truths that your words proclaim. Lord, we need your word today like the flower needs the water and the sun to be able to bloom. I pray, Father God, you'd plant the seeds of your word today in our heart as we give you praise and glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I read those verses there, my attention was brought to several things. One of them was, let him sing psalms. Me and Brother Wade, we had an uncle, Uncle Benny, and he would sing Psalms 48. And it was a blessing to hear him sing it. And I miss not being able to hear him sing that. But he would. He'd sing psalms. He'd sing them a lot. But he'd sing Psalms 48 quite a bit. And if you'll notice there in verse number 14, it said, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And that tells me that there was going to be cell phones. Amen. Now that's not talking about praying. It said let him call for the elders of the church. Me and Brother Wade was talking about how, boy, we changed. We went from the great I am to the iPhone and the iPod and all that other high stuff. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad God has not moved. I'm glad He's still sitting on the throne above all thrones. He's still inhabited eternity. He's still looking down in mercy. And He's still able to save to the uttermost and the guttermost all that look to Him for salvation. And just a simple prayer can get the lost sinner saved. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, me. If you'll notice in this recipe for healing, and if you'll listen to this, is there any among you afflicted? Now here's a recipe. Sister Sharon was talking about something else that showed up with her. God's bigger than everything that does show up in us.
Yeah.
But in this recipe for healing, it says, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Amen.
And I want to say this about that.
Amen.
The prayer of faith, Hebrews talks about, in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2, it talked about the word being preached to the Israelites, to the Jewish people. It didn't profit them not being mixed with faith.
Right.
In a recipe, you can't leave nothing out.
Mm.
And in prayer, one of the most important aspects of prayer is faith.
Amen. Right.
I mean, why would you even pray if you didn't have faith?
Right.
The great Welsh revival down in Florida, the preacher called upon a man to dismiss the meeting of that night, and the man started praying, and he stopped right in the middle of his praying, and he said, what's the use if your heart's not right with God? And he had enough faith to confess the fact that he wasn't right with God, and he went to the altar, and many others followed, and it ensued him to be a great revival. But one of the most important ingredients in the prayer of faith is faith. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is.
Yeah.
Oh, that he is God.
Right.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us to draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to us.
Uh-huh.
And it says if we withdraw, his soul will have no pleasure in us.
Right.
And when it comes to faith, you get as close to God as you desire. In a funeral of our aunt, Marty, And I called on him. He didn't know what I was even going to ask him. I put him on the spot just a little bit. And I told him, he put me on the spot at the very beginning of it. He said, just follow me. Brother, and I'm just really kind of returning what he'd done with me. And we sung a simple song. And I was talking about our aunt. She followed God, but it wasn't as easy for her to follow God as it was with some.
Yeah.
Her life was one of ill health. She was diabetic and felt bad a lot. But we sung that song, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
No turning back. No turning back. And he introduced me to that song. We was on a Sunday night. He said, just follow me. And I called him up there in that theater. I said, I need your help, brother. Why did you come up looking like a calf? Looking at a new daddy. He said, what's God? I said, just follow me, brother. And we sung that in honor of her. She followed the Lord the best she could. And I want you to know, the good shepherd, he loves his sheep. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, faith is an important ingredient when it comes to praying. Listen, when it comes to praying over old brother Eddie, I don't want no witch doctor praying over me. Hey, go get somebody that's saved, that knows the Lord, and have their prayer over me. Hey,
yeah.
I don't know about you, I like much on praying amiss. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ain't going to pray in Jesus' name, don't waste your time.
Right.
Jesus
right.
said, what shall you ask in my name? He said, the Father did. And I don't know about this bunch of okay, it's okay to pray. Just don't pray in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Hey, if you ain't going to pray in Jesus' name, you're praying amiss.
Right. Right.
And you know, in John chapter 9, I believe it's verse 31, they said, we know that God heareth not sinners. He does, but he only hears one prayer from the sinner.
That's right.
Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Yeah, that's right.
That thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me. When you come to your kingdom, Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. I want you to know the prayer, but the sinner doesn't have access to the throne of grace. But the saved, they can come boldly to the throne room of God. They don't have to go by the way of the priest no more. We've got a better priest. He lives ever to make intercession for us. We can come boldly in there and say, Father, I'd like to talk to you a minute. I'm having trouble down here.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, precious privilege prayer.
Yes.
Like I said, I don't know which doctor praying over me. Don't let Eddie get sick. I may call on you. And I'll tell you right now, buddy. I want somebody saved praying over me.
Yeah, yeah.
God said, if my people which are called by my name, first step.
Yeah.
Amen. He specified. You get that?
Yeah.
God said, if my people.
Uh-huh. Right.
Which are called by my name.
Yeah.
First step in prayer of faith.
Right.
Shall humble themselves.
Right.
Second step. And pray. And seek my face.
Yeah.
Then will I hear from heaven. About five steps right there that God requires for us to pray. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. You're not going to get too far with God in pride. If you can, the Bible says, humble yourself therefore in the sight of God, that He may exalt you in due time.
Right.
God loves humility.
Yeah.
Right.
We were in the Sunday school class this morning. We was talking a little bit about children. My children learned that they could come to me in humility. Dad, you know, not in pride, but come to me in humility, in reverence or respect. I'd give them the money.
Right.
But if they come to me like I owe them something, well, we're probably going to have one of them lectures, one of them discussions. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, they're on the wrong foot. And sometimes we do too when we pray to God. When you pray to God, pray in humility. Say, Lord, you're God. We was talking on the way up here. We just animated dirt ball. The way it was making a turn on the 6880. And we was just talking about how nothing we are.
Yeah.
And the more nothing I am, the more everything He can be. But if I'm anything, He can't be everything.
That's
right. So, I don't want to see myself more high than I ought to. I just stay low as a snake's belly.
Right.
And I'm safer there. And I'll be honest with you, I got more power with God there. But He said, humble yourselves and pray and seek my face. And then He said, turn from your wicked ways.
Yes.
Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We could use some of that in America today as I'm watching America burn. The prophet Isaiah was called to pray over a king, King Hezekiah, in 2 Kings chapter 20. And Isaiah come in, looked at King Hezekiah and said, "Set your house in order." He said, "You're going to die." He said, as a matter of fact, he said, "You're going to surely die and not live." And you know, that's not the kind of person I want praying over me. I want somebody to have a little bit of compassion. The Bible says have compassion, make a difference. Well, anyway, when Isaiah said, "You're going to die and not live," walked out the door, Hezekiah turned to the wall, Joanne, and he started him some praying. And he said, "Lord, remember how I walked before you and how I kept myself before you and all of that." And before that prophet got off of the palace ground, matter of fact, I think it said he was in the middle of the court out there in the palace, God spoke to him and said, "Get back up there and tell my king I'm going to give him 15 more years." Amen. Amen. Sometimes it's good to get a second opinion, Amanda. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 20, if you'll read that for yourself. Yeah. But sometimes the person you call upon to pray over you, they may not necessarily pray like you want them to pray. Yeah. And I'm going to say that wasn't good news, Brother Hale. When the prophet Isaiah said, "Set your house in order, you're going to die and you ain't going to live." I don't know about y'all, but that wouldn't be real good for me. I'd rather have somebody say, "Well, we're going to keep praying, boy, and maybe the Lord will help you get better." I'd rather have that than other men.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that king humbled himself. He prayed to God himself, verse 2 and 3. And the prophet had to go back and tell him God gave him 15 more years. The prophet, I don't know if I can say this guy's name or not, but the prophet Hijah was called to pray over the son of a wicked king, King Jeroboam. His son was dying, and he made two gold calves and tried to get Israel to say these be thy gods, and there was no sense in them going to Jerusalem to worship. He interrupted the worship of the Jewish people.
Yeah.
But anyway, he got called upon to pray on behalf of this wicked king's son, and they connived a plan that his wife would disguise herself and go to this great prophet and you know, pretend to be somebody else, and maybe he could pray over this boy and he would live. But the disguise didn't work. This prophet, the Bible said, he couldn't see by reason of his age. His eyes were getting dim in verse number 4, and that's coming to all of us. I've got 300 pair of glasses on right here just to be able to see what I'm looking at here. But anyway, we'll do whatever it takes to see. When she showed up, even though her efforts were to come in as someone else, as soon as her feet hit the door, the threshold, he said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam." He said, "I got heavy tidings to give you." See, their efforts was to get healing, but do it in a deceitful way. And the prophet told her that the boy was going to die, and he did. And not only that, he said he's the only one of your whole family's going to make it to the grave. All of you's going to die. Because the Bible said in him was found some good thing. But anyway, it reminded me a lot of Ananias and Sapphira there mentioned in Acts chapter 5. They couldn't fool God neither. But in this effort of this king Jeroboam and his wife, they couldn't fool God. And they didn't get their prayer through. As a matter of fact, God took this boy home. Best thing could have happened to him, I guess.
Yeah, amen.
Prayer of faith. Privilege of prayer. Given to all the children of God.
Yeah.
James says for us to pray in faith, nothing wavering.
Yes.
For without faith, your prayer will receive nothing. That's in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. I probably overemphasize this. I don't want to underemphasize it. Be sure to pray on your food.
Yeah, right.
I'm not a scientist. I can't prove this, but I believe most cancer days just due to the fact we're praying over. Oh, we're eating food without praying over. This earth's been cursed twice. It was cursed for Adam's sake. It was cursed for Cain's sake. Everything we eat proceeds from this curse. Don't eat a curse. Say, "Lord, bless this food.
Yes.
Bless it to my body. To be strength to my body." I think a lot of the what sicknesses and cancers and stuff we got today is because we're eating a curse instead of a blessing. Amen.
Right. Amen.
My cousin here, when some years back when he moved down here, him and his wife Susan, they couldn't have no children. I remember them going to the altar. I remember us all kneeling down. We all put our hands on them. We prayed with them that God would bless them. And now they've got April, which is their firstborn child, and Andrew. They got a daughter and a son. But you see, we have not because we ask not.
Right.
I remember Brother Wade and Sister Susan going up the altar and humble prayer, asking God to bless them with some children. And we got behind them. It's just like God to give you more of what you deserve. Give them a double portion. Gave them an April, greatest young lady ever. And Andrew and Brother Wade said he might love him. I love him. He said he's as stubborn as a mule. He said he'll headbutt the floor. He'll do anything but what you tell him. And that's the way we was too. Yeah. He just chipped off the block. But you know, prayer makes a difference. I remember my burden in my heart when I first got saved. And I've told this before, but I want to throw it in because it fits here. My uncle Dole Mathis, which was married to my Aunt Marty that I mentioned about me and Brother Wade doing the funeral. But my uncle Dole Mathis, y'all ever smoked the cigars? Dole red and white. I think it was a 1965 Chevrolet pickup truck, real nice truck. But he always smoked them cigars. He came down with cancer. And you know, I got to praying for him, and I got to fasting and praying, and I wouldn't let up. And I was out there one day, and God put it in my heart just to drive over there to Doyle's house. So I did. I drove over to Walnut Street where they lived, and when I got there, Doyle's out in the front yard talking with his neighbor, and I got out of the car or truck when I was driving, and I went up to my Uncle Doyle, Sister Joanne, and I said, Doyle, I've been praying for you, and I believe if you bring your situation to the Lord, I believe He'll help you with it. And his neighbor said, Doyle, this young man's telling you right. You know what Doyle said? Miranda, he said, no, they come up with new pill. I'm trusting in that new pill. I said, Paul, bear them 2 weeks. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can pray the prayer of faith, and God has to show you why He can't grant it. And God did show me that situation right there while I was praying amiss. He's not trusting God. He's trusting in the pill. And I couldn't do nothing about that. Listen, I went to the hospital one time to see a guy I grew up with called Larry Vibbert. And he'd had a heart attack, and I went out there, and he's in intensive care. I walked in there, and I looked, and it looked like death warmed over to me. I mean, he's got blood coming out of his eyes, his ears, nose, mouth, and he looked dead, and I'm weeping over him. I said, Lord, couldn't you let Larry live? But the time he came to, it scared me, scared him both to death. And right that moment of surprise, he said, pray for me that God let me live. I'll come to church and get saved. Hey, I was glad to pray that prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of like Moses, glory over me. I in a hurry. I said, Lord, grant that. Let Larry live long enough to come to church and get saved.
Yeah.
Hey, he went out of the hospital and I ain't seen him since. Every time I see him, I say, Larry, remember what you said? Yeah, I remember. Well, anyway, God has to deal with a lot of that too.
Right.
I was underneath the Siddons Bridge one winter. And I was underneath there fishing. And I'm just enjoying the day. I do most of that anyway. Matter of fact, as I drove up here this morning, I saw people, some of them were pulling boats and kayaks and mowing yard. Me and Brother Wade sitting down on a tractor, filling with roll hay. And you know, there's people jogging and everything else. But anyway, on this day, I was fishing underneath the Siddons Bridge, enjoying the day, beautiful day. And I catch a fish going. And I didn't mean to do this. I said, Lord, there's another. You know what I mean? All my conversations seemed to be centered around the Lord. Wasn't nobody around. I said, Lord, there's another. Thank you for putting the bucket. About that time, I ran out calling them. I said, Lord, there's another. Thank you for putting the bucket. And by that time, I heard these dogs barking. Now, I'm not that smart. But what I thought, Brother Jerry, I said, Lord, I bet you them dogs chasing a deer. Now, I just said that. You know, that's a coincidence. It wasn't like I'm a great prophet or nothing. But I said, Lord, I bet you they're chasing a deer. And about that time, I heard something at the other side of the lake, and sure enough, on the other side of the lake where I was, there was a deer standing right there. Now, I didn't do this intentionally, Brother Mitchell, but I said, Lord, I sure would like to have that hole in my deep freeze. When I said that, that deer started up that hill, started coming across that bridge, sounded like Billy Goat Gruff, clip the clop, and old farm truck come down the road, backfiring like somebody shooting a gun is missing one, it was hitting, and that deer jumped off that bridge, and I heard the racket. I looked up, and I'm not kidding you, that deer was in perfect Olympic form. It was perfect form. Died. Oh man, his it hit right by my feet, and there wasn't no water, and it broke its neck. That farmer stopped the truck, looked over the bridge, and here I am down there with a bucket of crappie, and a deer laying beside me, and that farmer said, "Son, I sure am sorry about that." He said, "What do I need to do?" I said, "I'll take care of it for you, sir." He said, "Well, thank you, son." Got in his truck, took off, I put that deer up on my shoulder, I got my bucket, I put them in the back of my black and white 1972 International Scout and go over at Mama's house. I said, "Mama, come out here, you got to see this." She said, "What is it?" I said, "You got to see it. You won't believe it no other way." Holding up the back of that International Scout, and there laid that deer, and there's that bucket of crappie. She said, "How'd you get that?" I said, "I just asked for it, Mama." And I did have that deer in my deep freeze before the sun went down. But, you know, sometimes we take prayer for granted. I didn't really intentionally pray that. God just granted it just to show me what we've got access to. I mean, I just said, "Lord, I sure would like to have that on my deep freeze." And I did end up with it on my deep freeze. Somebody said they want to go deer hunting with me. I said, "It ain't always like that." Amen. Man, Brother Wade's deer hunting one time and the snowflakes was falling down. It's plumb scary, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, I said, "I can't even see him." I mean, the big old flakes and the big round that falling down. He said, "Let's go." And we didn't know what the heck was going on. I worked with a man named Mark Fisher. I went to revival with my pastor. I think it was Beach Grove, I believe. But anyway, at the end of that meeting at night, on Mark's stepdad, Sam Harper, come up to me and he said, "Eddie," he said, "you work with my son, and I want you to talk to him. I want him to get saved." And I thought, like most families, I was trying to get out of it. So I said, "I'll tell you what, Mark, I'll tell you what, Sam, I said, you pray about God giving me an opportunity, and I will." I was really just trying to get out of it, I'll be honest with you. God desires truth in every part. I'll be honest, I'm just trying to get out of it. Yeah. I said, "Just pray about it, God give me an opportunity, and I will." And his mother's name was Shirley, and Shirley Harper and Sam Harper, and they wanted their boy, and he's like me, roughing a cob. I mean, Mark Fisher could out cuss anybody. And I'm sitting there, I didn't really want to witness to him. But I was on board if God gave me an opportunity. So the next day, I mean, that's on a Sunday night. Monday, I'm in the break room, Phyllis. And I'm in there all by myself because I got a Bible laying out in front of me. And everybody's scared to come in there. You know what I mean? So I look up, and guess what? Mark Fisher walks by the window of the break room to go out to the smoke shack. And when he walked by, as I'm sitting in there, I said, "Lord, there he goes." And when I said, "Lord, there he goes," he turned around and came back. And he sat down across the table in front of me. Moran, and I'm sitting there, and my little colleagues is turning like, "What do I say? How do I start this?" I didn't get a chance to say nothing. You know what Mark Fisher said to me, Joanne? He said, "I want what you got." Now you tell me that wasn't of the Lord. Yeah. I said, "Sam, you pray, God, give me an opportunity, and I will." I'm just trying to get out of it.
Right.
And the next day, not just an opportunity, but God just showed me what he could do. Here, Mark Fisher said, "I want what you got." You know what I told him? I said, "Go tell Jesus what you just told me."
Yeah.
And he'll give it to you. And he ended up getting saved. I had that transformation. Everybody stood in awe of him like he did with me. And they said, "Something strange going on out here." It was worse than the coronavirus. There was all kinds of people getting saved.
Amen. Amen.
They was more scared of that than it was coronavirus.
That's right.
I'll tell you right now, what the heck's going on? Amen.
Amen.
But it's yet to be seen what God could do if we could just pray in faith.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about when you pray, how lightly you have faith? I don't know about y'all, but every now and then I get to kind of like praying habitual prayers like, now let's pray. Lord, if you wouldn't mind, Lord, would you please help in this matter over here?
Yeah.
But knowing that all of God's power is afforded us, and if we do pray in His will, the Bible says He heareth us. That's why Jesus said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done."
Right.
But if we pray according to His will, He heareth us. And if we pray, and not amiss, but we pray something that we have need of, and not to consider upon our lust, but say, "Lord, I ain't feeling real good." My pastor called me yesterday, and he said, "Pray for me. My back's hurting. I'm down in my back." I said, "What happened?" He said, a 66-year-old try to act like a 26-year-old. I said, I was the same way about 2 weeks ago. I'll pray for you, amen.
Amen.
But see, prayer is a precious privilege.
Yes,
but when we kneel down to pray, I don't know about y'all, but I pray and believe in God to do even more than what I even ask. The Bible said He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or pray. There's no limit with God. Saul's son, Jonathan, one of the Old Testament men of great faith was Jonathan. And they went down to look upon the Philistines, him and his armor bearer, just a little boy. And he said, come on, let's charge on them. And I like what he said. He said, because there ain't no restraint with God to save with few or many. And they did. They mowed the Philistines like mowing grass. Brother Wade, he used to mow grass with a grasshopper. And I mean, he wore it out. Well, that's what they did, these Philistines. They come up out of that hole. And I mean, Philistine just went to falling. But there ain't no restraint with God. Hey, listen, when we don't realize that when we pray, devils tremble. When we pray, I want you to know it makes a difference.
Yes.
I got saved. My dad was as hard-hearted as any man I've ever known in my life. I never heard such vulgar language in my life. And I started fasting, praying for my dad, and I wouldn't let up. I lost 40 pounds fasting. Probably need to do it again. But I was nothing but skin and bones. I got a little bit impatient. And I said something I probably shouldn't have said. And I said, Lord, I don't want my dad to be able to eat or to sleep till he gets saved. My dad called me the next day. He said, you praying for me? I said, well, yeah, Dad, you know I'm praying for you. He said, well, I want you to quit. I said, why? He said, because I can't eat and I can't sleep.
Amen.
And I said, Dad, let me ask you something. I said, if it's the other way around, I asked you to quit praying for me, would you quit praying for me? And that's the first time I'd ever heard my dad weep. And through a loud voice, he said, no, but take it easy on me. I ain't ready yet. 10 years later, my dad got saved. He called me about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I thought I dreamed it. He said, I just wanted you to know I got saved. And man, that had to be of the Lord. Call somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, one time I come home, me and Brother Williams was kind of entertaining the thought about the contentious wife. And all of that, and I come home, and my wife, I worked hard all day long. And somebody that I thought ought to have fried chicken, fried potatoes, pinto beans, going, you know how men are, you know. And I'm driving home, you know, I can't wait to get home. And I said, honey, what's for supper? And she said, potato soup. Now, I didn't just stick one foot in my mouth. I stuck both of them and tried to get the rest in there too. And I remember the tone of the voice. I said, potato soup? I worked all day long and you got potato soup. She's going to the bedroom crying. I'm starving to death. I finally went over and got me some of that potato soup. I have to admit, it's good. Now, you talking about eating crow. It was really good. Honestly, I'd probably rather have potato soup today than have her potato soup anyway. Than to have fried chicken, fried potato, pinto beans. I loved it. But I wasn't about to tell her. Now, we talking back to back. Big Chief, no move. And you know, this went on forever. I'm sitting up there in the cafeteria one day. Of course, I'm reading my Bible. And I read this verse. Better is a dinner of herbs fixed and love therewith than a stalled ox in hatred. And I melted. They gave me the cafeteria.
Yeah.
I mean, they evacuated.
Amen.
I'm up there. I'm crying my eyes out. I'm broke. I'm weeping. I'm crying. I'm wrong. God showed me just how wrong I am.
Yep.
And on the way home, Brother Ed, I stopped by that little old church over there. And I went in there like a little whip pup. I still remember what I prayed. I went in and I said, Dear Lord, I said, first of all, I want to tell you I'm sorry. I said, I want to thank you for my wife. I said, I want to thank you for finding someone who could put up with me and love me. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Amen.
And I remember being specific. I specific mentioned.
Right.
I said, Lord, could you help me and my wife somehow get back to loving each other like we used to love each other before this happened?
Right.
Now, I had a little bit of closure there. I felt no more condemnation. I felt like I took it as far as I need to take it. So I'm driving home, unknown to me what was fixing to happen. I walk in the door of our house, and my wife's doing the talking this time. She's cooking. And I walk in, she said, sit down right now. I need to talk to you. And I thought, oh my God, who's dying? So I sat down there, and she said, the Lord spoke to me just now, and He said, we need to forgive each other and get back to loving each other like we used to love each other. She said, I want you to forgive me. And I'm trying to pick my jaw up. She spoke my prayer word for word.
Amen.
As far as all of it, I messed it up. I'm trying to say, honey, it's my fault. You didn't do that wrong. She said, shut up. Let me talk. Listen. Anyway, I just want you to know we underestimate just prayer, but how much faith we need to have when we pray.
Right.
I'd give anything. Have more of a prayer life.
Right.
I catch myself knowing I need to pray. And walking right past it. This morning, I was praying, had a dog sitting on my back while I was praying, nothing licking me in the face. That's one reason I didn't want to pray this morning, was because of that. But I decided it'd be all right. I needed to pray.
Amen.
I pray for all of y'all. I pray for Brother Wade. I pray for this day to be a special day.
Yeah, that's right.
But oh, how we need to have a prayer life.
Yes.
How we need to take time to pray.
Yes.
That's right.
When I first got saved, of course my family, they was all church going and everything. And I got saved, got in church, going to church and all that. We went, this is how long ago it was, Joanne, we went to Burger Queen.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that? I remember about the swimming pool.
Remember it.
We went in there and we ordered our meal and I started to eat.
Amen.
And the little boy said, Daddy, ain't we going to pray over it before we eat? And I knew he was right. So we all bowed our heads. And I didn't know how to pray. I said, Lord, would you please bless this food? We woke up and everybody in a restaurant?
Fast food.
Thank you. They was all standing around us weeping. I said, that's the most beautiful sight we've ever seen. A family bowing their head and praying together. Right. And it proceeded from a little boy saying, Dad, don't we need to pray before we eat? Take time to pray.
That's right.
I have been praying before. And my granddaughter opened up the door and she closed it right back. And then she opened it up and they come in there and knelt down beside her father. And I just pulled up to me and just kept on praying. I was praying one time, my daughter come in and she come over and knelt beside me and just went to weeping. And I just pulled her up and wept over her, wept with her, and prayed for her. Listen, it ain't no shame to be called praying.
That's right.
I know we think nobody should see us pray.
Mm.
I'm convinced otherwise.
Everybody.
I think they need to see us pray more.
Right.
I think there's an absence right now of much needed prayer in this country.
Yeah.
I believe it would heal our country.
Yeah.
I believe it would. I believe it would help right now what's going on in our country.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. And by the way, in this text, I didn't read that far, a man, Elijah, said he was a man of like passions, prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, that's 3.5 years, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth their fruit. Don't underestimate prayer. Joshua prayed, Sun, stand still. And it did. And scientists can actually, believe it or not, they know there was a day that the sun stood still.
Yeah.
I don't know how they know that stuff, but they actually acknowledge there was a day that the sun stood where it was. I don't know how they ever determine all that.
Yeah.
Daniel prayed as he did before when the decree from the king was signed and he got thrown in a lion's den. Listen, if you get thrown in a lion's den, it's worth it. Matter of fact, them lions made pretty good pillows, I guess. And I won't be prayed up if I get thrown in a lion's den. You know what I mean? I want to be prayed up. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but I hope this message has caused you at least think about your own prayer life.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Nothing's impossible to God.
No.
Nothing. Just to give you an idea of what I just said right there, I was on the back porch of our house one time praying. And I'll just tell you what I was praying for. I needed $1,000. I needed it that day. Now you know the creditors have come. You know what I mean? I've always been poor. I kind of like it. I don't know why, but it's just me, I guess. But anyway, I'm on the back porch and I'm praying. Here's what I prayed, Carolyn. I said, Lord, you told me when I had a need to come to you. And I said, Lord, I need $1,000 and I need it today. My phone is on my belt like a little holster. And it rang when I said that, Brother Ed. And it didn't just rain one time, it just kept raining. I ain't about to quit praying. I probably, maybe I had too much dignity, I don't know. But I'm right in the middle of praying and my phone's ringing, it won't quit ringing. And I'm still praying, and finally, I said, okay, enough. I picked that phone up, and I said, hello! I got on that phone and said, what's going on? I said, what do you mean, what's going on? He said, look, I need to know what's going on. I said, well, I was just praying. He said, I need to know about what? The Lord just put you on my heart right now. I need to know what's going on. I've got to have surgery tomorrow. I don't have time to play around. Tell me what's going on. It's kind of rude. I was kind of rude too. I said, well, I was just praying to God about something. He said, I need to know what I need to know now. And I said, well, I was telling the Lord I needed some money. He said, I need to know how much. And I foolishly told him. I said, I told the Lord I needed $1,000. He said, if you don't need my office tomorrow, I've got to go to Cincinnati, have a hip replacement. And when I hung that phone up, the devil kind of took the place then, and that yellow streak come up my back like, surely you ain't a big enough fool to believe that. I'm just telling you honestly, this is the way I reacted. That. I thought, yeah, in your dreams. But he told me, he said, tomorrow, go up underneath my office, there's a wooden door at the back of my building, open it up, there'll be a letter, and then there'll be $1,000 in there. And I'm driving up there, and I'm probably driving 3 miles an hour. I ain't driving like Miranda. I mean, I'm in yellow streak, devil co-pilot. I mean, I am getting beat down driving up there. And the devil, I'm shaking. And I reached for that latch on that door, and my hand was shaking so bad, Brother Mitch, I couldn't hardly even move it. And I opened up that door, and sure enough, there's a letter in there with $10,100 bills in there. I just want you to know, all the gold is the Lord's, the silver is the Lord's, cattle on 1,000 hills, taters in them. And God said, my son has got a need. And this man's a multi-millionaire, by the way. He used to be my foreman at work. But how he knew I was praying, only God knows.
That's right.
I mean, he lives in Scottsville. I live right there by the Skaggs Creek Bridge, and I'm on the back porch of the house, and he is sitting up in heavens, heard a little pitiful prayer.
Yeah, that's right, amen.
This man, how did he even know my phone number? I don't know this day how he knew my phone number. Some of y'all's got it, but everybody ain't got it. But he called me. What's going on? I think sometimes, Carolyn, God says, what's going on?
Yeah,
he said, I'm here.
Yeah.
He said, call up on me in a day of trouble.
Yeah, right.
Jeremiah 33:3.
Yeah.
I'll show you great mighty things you know not. God's just a prayer away. I'll shut up right here. But I preach this message today that you might think about your own prayer life.
Yeah, right. Amen.
You know, we have a lot of problems in life.
Yeah, we do.
Sometimes I believe those problems are there just to provoke us to pray.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we say, Lord, I've had all I can take. I don't remember. Somebody said, did you pray about it? I can't remember what it was. Oh, in that testimony. Yeah. He asked that man if he prayed about it. He said, no, I decided if God's will to bring you home, I'd just soon leave and stay.
That's right.
You know what? Our prayer life needs to be a healthy prayer.
Yes, it does.
We need to pray one for another. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, he would that all men everywhere might pray and thank God.
Amen.
Listen, I preach this message today to encourage you in praying. And when you do pray, pray in faith. Believe in God for even more than you need. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for your word today. Thank you for all the thoughts and illustration you gave us. Thank you for this message. Lord, I needed it as much as anybody here. Lord, I pray you'll always be God. And I pray we'll always run to you for the least trouble that comes our way. May we run to you. May we be instant in prayer. And may we find in you our all in all. Everything we need, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand, please. Get Brother Jerry. Sister Sharon, just maybe one verse. Song. I don't know how the Word of God come to you. I know how it come to me. By like getting an email. Word of God come to Jonah. Told him to go to Nineveh. Preach the preaching. He said, did I bid you to preach? And Jonah took off.
Yeah.
Finally. Second time he did anyway.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the word come to you today and